Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 55 of At Odds with Wrestling. Joe and Adam here. Adam.
Yes, sir.
We started recording and asked if I sounded okay.
Wait, say that again?
I didn't ask if I sounded okay.
Oh, you sound fine.
Okay. I've been up in my head about the sound on the podcast for my side lately. I don't know why. I just have it up in my head about it, you know?
Yeah, see, you got to let go of those things. Like me, my headphones stopped working, so I stopped using them. And sound quality be damned. I'm comfy right now.
Okay. You sound okay.
Yeah.
When I run it through the editing thing, you know, like your level sounds okay, and there's no way to hear myself back as we're actually doing it. I don't know. I might have to take, like, that next step and, you know, do what I've seen other people do where they hang like an egg crate up in their room that like helps bounce some of the sound off.
Mm-hmm. I'm in a room full of long boxes and Azrael posters. So that is sound absorbing as well.
Well, those Azrael posters have to be good for something.
Yes.
Mopping up spills. Maybe they're load bearing posters. Who knows?
Oh, this one's signed by Joe Quesada. So it's kind of cool. I don't know. Anyways.
Did he sign it, "I'm sorry, Joe Quesada"?
No, he said, "This is my greatest work. You're welcome, Joe Quesada."
Remember he did a creator-owned comic that was called Ash?
I have directly behind me a framed photo. It's a promo poster for Azrael versus Ash.
Mm.
By Denny O'Neill, Joe Quesada, Jimmy Palmiotti. A prestige format one-shot, scorching comic shops this spring. That's what it says.
It's a good creative team on there, but you know, I guess we all needed to eat back in 1990, whatever that was.
I have a CGC 9.8 of that book, I'm not going to lie.
I was going to say you have the poster because the book never came out.
No, much like the animated style Azrael figure that was recently solicited, that book came out and sold very well.
I have a feeling that neither of those things are going to happen for the Azrael figure, but this isn't the comic book show, but I do love dunking on you about Azrael.
I'm going to buy two of them so that way I can have a Lucy, and I'll show it to you when I get it. I'll put it in your boot. I heard that's a thing now.
I was going to say, I'll sign the one loose one, Stay True, to the orange and blue. Or is it the yellow and red? What colors is he? Who knows?
It's all over the place.
All right, wrestling stuff. There was actually some news this week, some interesting news, as we head into a different world of sports and entertainment. As the as Anthem... the company that owns Impact purchased Access TV.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the other way around?
The Anthem purchased Access.
Right. Access used to be Mark Cuban's thing. Mm-hmm. I guess Mark Cuban had unloaded it off onto Steve Harvey's production company.
That's our goal in life, is that whenever you establish something, just dump it off on Steve Harvey.
Right.
That's what I hope to do with this show and this network.
Oh, he's good for a lot of silent reaction gifs. I don't know how good he would be on a podcast, you know.
Be like At Odds with Wrestling, a Steve Harvey production.
Right, but Access TV originally was HDNet.
Yeah.
Which was the station that used to show Ring of Honor back in the day. It currently shows Women of Wrestling and New Japan.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I've been using that channel for New Japan for the longest time. Like, not so much recently. Obviously, a lot of the guys that I've liked in New Japan are in AEW or elsewhere. But also, HDNet/Access used to be a really good place to watch lots of MMA. Like, before UFC completely, like, conquered everything, and there used to be a lot of indies for a while.
I think all that's left really is Bellator, right?
Yeah, I guess now, but like they used to have a show called like Inside MMA, which was like a Sports Center type thing for MMA, and it showed a lot of the regional stuff. So I used to watch that channel a lot. Not so much anymore.
Right.
But now, yeah. Now,
no one knows when Impact is going to start on there. No one knows where it's going to start. No one knows what that means for New Japan or Women of Wrestling. Like, one would think you have a bunch of wrestling, make a block of, a block of these TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
Impact is currently an hour, I think. New Japan is an hour, and I think Women of Wrestling is an hour. No, Impact currently is 2 hours. The prevailing wisdom is that they should put Impact on Tuesday nights to fill the void of people who used to watch SmackDown on Tuesday nights, with SmackDown going to Fridays. Obviously, should not be Monday, should not be Friday, which is, I think, where New Japan and Women of Wrestling is currently, and it obviously should not be Wednesdays as well, because that's already jammed up, right?
Yeah.
So a couple things with this is, as has happened before with the acquisition of Access by Impact, by Anthem, they went ahead and laid off like 40 people, Anthem did. And sadly, that is what Anthem does a lot of times when they make these acquisitions. They kind of clean house, but a lot of the people that they're cleaning house on are the people that are the ones that were working like all the way back to the Ring of Honor days,
mm-hmm.
and helped get Ring of Honor on here, helped get New Japan on here, helped get Women of Wrestling on here. And now Anthem is coming in and just kind of like, yeah, all you people are, we don't need you anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the standard when you have these media companies like buying each other, because you don't need redundancies of employees. And I guess the article that you had sent me said that Access only really had 100 employees before the cuts anyways.
Yeah.
So, like, and then that was spread across 3 different offices in 3 different major cities. So, I mean, if anything, they were probably not, it wasn't the most efficient operating model anyways.
Right. So it's interesting, of course, to see what's going to go forward from here. This news had kind of been talked about since the summer and is now just kind of rolled through. And it's going to be interesting to see where Impact pairs up with New Japan. I know Impact would love to be in bed with New Japan, as New Japan is not in bed currently with any American companies, whether it be Ring of Honor or AEW, where they both had ties to before, just as recently as of this past April, where Ring of Honor New Japan did the joint show at Madison Square Garden. And since then, New Japan kind of cut ties with Ring of Honor, and it's a sad state of affairs of what's going on in Ring of Honor, regardless of some of their more recent signings and so forth.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point you start at least hearing rumors of that all these guys need to start working together. You know, Impact, New Japan, Ring of Honor, just because I don't think any of them are in a strong enough stance right now to really compete with, like, AEW even, you know?
Right, but I don't think New Japan doesn't need Impact as much as Impact needs New Japan.
Sure, but I mean, maybe if there's any U.S. infrastructure that Impact can offer, or
right.
You know, any kind of like, no?
No, sadly they can't. I have friends that work there currently, have worked there as recently as a year ago, and friends that have worked there several times over the last many, many years. And
so basically Impact right now is the time slot in the tape library.
Well, pretty much everything but WWE is a time slot in a tape library.
I gotcha.
You know, when you're WWE, nobody's even close. You know, we didn't talk about it all that much, but the Baltimore taping, or the Baltimore pay-per-view, that tickets went on sale for AEW last week. In between us recording and the show going live, they were expecting another sellout like they did for All In and like they did for the Las Vegas show, mm-hmm. and the other, you know, the 2 Florida shows, and then this, and then All Out. It didn't sell out. It's behind. I think there's a WWE show in the market, like maybe this, like the next day.
Okay.
And the WWE event is still ahead of the AEW.
Is the Is a WWE event just like a house show?
I don't know. Let me look.
Well, you'd figure the AEW would be, they run on Saturdays, right? Their pay-per-views?
Yes.
And so
it's sadly, it's the same day as the Chikara season finale. And for at least two or three people in that event, luckily Philadelphia to Baltimore is not that long of a drive.
I gotcha. Yeah, so I mean,
go ahead.
I was going to say there's not a pay-per-view the next day, like a WWE pay-per-view. So if it would probably just be a house show.
I'm looking.
Or maybe like a big joint house show.
WWE's running a lot of shows.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing a lot of scrolling, and I ain't even too, okay, here we are. November what? Now, see, there's nothing on this. It's somebody had said that there was a November taping.
What's the date?
November 2nd, November 3rd.
Ooh. All right. No, I just something that will come up later with the number 11. I was just wondering if that had any significance. We'll talk about that.
No, I don't know. Anyway, it might not be the same weekend, but I think like there's a Baltimore show somewhere, maybe the same building.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They'll tarp it off. And then Cody, being the honest businessman that he is, he'll say it's a sellout, and everybody will be happy. It'll be a sellout in Baltimore for what's it called, like Top Gear or something like that?
Full Gear.
Full Gear. It's using the Top Gear logo.
But anyway, yes. Back to Impact.
Yes.
So I have a quiz for young Adam, young in parentheses.
Younger than you.
That ain't saying much.
Yeah.
All right, so, Impact. Again, we don't talk about it very often on here, and usually it's because something bad has happened. people trying to get out of their contracts, them yes. not showing the last like 15 minutes of their show, all these things. But Impact is like the little promotion that could.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to tell you that, not including being on pay-per-view, Impact has been on 1, 2, 3, 4, now 5 different networks.
Okay.
Throughout its history. Can you name those 5 networks?
You know what? I think I was actually joking about this earlier.
My apologies. Access is going to be 6.
Okay.
So the other 5.
Yeah. I was actually talking about this at work earlier today. But I don't think I have them all. But they were on Spike during their brief Monday Night Wars.
Correct.
They're currently on Pursuit.
Right.
Before that it was Destination America. Damn, I'm forgetting. I'm blanking. Those are some obscure channels that I got there. I can't count the weekly Wednesday $10 pay-per-views.
No. So after the weekly $10 pay-per-views, they were on Fox Sports Net.
Oh, really? I don't remember that.
Right. Now, in between the Fox, that was like from 05 to 07.
Okay.
In between Fox Sportsnet to being on Spike, they were exclusively on YouTube. Oh. Let's not talk about that. Now, then, of course, Spike and then Destination America. But in between Destination America and Pursuit, they were on another network.
Oh, I remember this because this channel was like in standard definition. Actually, it was like lower than standard definition on DirecTV because I remember the Smoke Show. It was like unwatchable. I'd have to watch her clips again on YouTube. Fuck, I have no clue.
It was formerly the Preview Guide channel, Pop TV.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Now, they've been on 6 networks. Now, TNA began in June of 2002.
Mm-hmm.
So it has been around for over 17 years. So I ask you, Adam,
mm-hmm.
TNA is still kicking at 17 years plus.
Mm-hmm.
What was around longer? ECW or TNA?
I mean, absolutely, or TNA, because I mean, ECW really just had, what, 6 years, 7 years tops in that initial run? if you count.
Well, again, we're going to count from, we're not going to count when it was Tri-State Wrestling Alliance. Like, we're going to count when they called it ECW Eastern Championship Wrestling.
Okay.
It ran from April of 1992 to April of 2001. So 9 years.
Okay. What did I say? Like eight? Okay. Yeah. Nine years.
Now, what has or was been around longer? Impact TNA or Ring of Honor?
I'm going to say Impact.
Ring of Honor started in February of 2002. Impact started June of 2002.
Nah. Okay.
What was around longer? CZW, Combat Zone Wrestling, or Impact TNA?
I've never seen a half second of a CZW show, so I'm gonna say Impact. I'm flipping a coin.
Okay, CZW has been around since 1999.
Nah.
Coming up on 20 years, and I don't want to say strong, but, you know, 20 years. What has been around longer? WCW or Impact? Now, I don't mean like Jim Crockett Promotions or Georgia Championship Wrestling or NWA, whatever they called it. When they officially changed the name to World Championship Wrestling, what was around longer? WCW or TNA Impact?
I feel like this is a trick question. I'm going to go Impact?
You are correct.
Okay.
WCW was around from 1988 officially to 2001, 13 years. So Impact was around longer.
Wow.
Last one. What has been around longer? TNA Impact or Chikara?
See, everything Chikara is a big blur for me prior to the first show that I went to, which was like 3 years ago.
Right.
Like, I didn't know Chikara was a thing prior to that King of Trios show that I went to. But I'm gonna go Impact again.
No. Oh. Chikara has a month on TNA.
A lot of promotions opening up in, what, 2002?
Well, again, WCW dies in 2001, mm-hmm. and then you have everyone scrambling, like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
You know, Ring of Honor essentially was... Ring of Honor became into existence because ECW went out of business.
Yeah.
And to kind of fill that void in the Philly, you know, independent area... TNA came into existence for all the people that were blackballed from WCW by Vince.
The people that got the thumbs down during the live segment.
Yeah. So as much as I feel, I think Impact in some capacity will outlive Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor
will be part of the World Wrestling Entertainment tape library before Impact is.
I can see that. And I mean, honestly, I came into Ring of Honor very, 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 very late. And a lot of the top guys that you're going to have fond memories of were long gone by the time I started watching Ring of Honor. So with that being said, I mean, I think I have more fond memories of like old Impact shows than I do old Ring of Honor.
Right, you had texted me over the weekend about that, of talking to someone who was like, oh yeah, ECW, CM Punk, and Braden Walker, or whatever. You know?
And John Morrison.
But there are so many people that I meet coming up, whether it be like Chikara students, or primarily like AIW students, like a lot of those guys coming up, they started watching wrestling right around the time that Edge was like the top heel on SmackDown.
Okay.
And they have fond memories of Impact, like from the Spike days. Like that's when they started watching wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people probably came in right around that time because it was a lot of new stuff to check out.
Yeah.
All right. That's interesting. I did not, when you look at it from like an outside perspective like that, you don't realize just how long Impact has just been there like a cockroach. You just can't get rid of it. It'll outlive
us. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. But what are you going to do?
Well, we talked about tape libraries. There was a rumor that was just recently floated that WWE is looking, you know, there's been that rumor since day one that they're going to have like this tiered system on the network of like one price gets you this, one price gets you that, one, you know, like all these different tiers, right? And every time that there's an every quarter when there's an investors meeting, everyone's like, yep, this is the quarter where they're announcing it.
Yeah, I remember like when I was an early sign-up-y of the network. I feel like it was relatively soon after the network launched, I was getting emails asking about my like likelihood to do a tiered system.
Right. And that was 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So one of the rumors that just rolled out is that part of those one of those tiered systems is that you're going to be getting essentially like the indie affiliate promotions that are involved in some capacity with WWE. And they listed Evolve, of course, and I'm sure old Dragon Gate USA shows are going to be in there. Progress is going to be in there. WXW from Germany, a lot of those companies like that. But also on the list was Chikara, which was very strange to me.
Yeah, all the first ones you mentioned made sense, but that one kind of shocked me.
Right, like nobody's going back and watching like the first like 2 years of Evolve or the first year or like the first year of Evolve or the first 2 years of Dragon Gate USA. Nobody's listening to those. My voice is all over those shows. But Chikara being on the WWE network is very strange to me.
So is that just because it doesn't like stink of a natural affiliation, like the recent talent exchanges, or just because of like your involvement, or what is it that all the above?
There had been discussions this calendar year in private between me and people who are not directly affiliated with Chikara that were kind of insinuating that Chikara is going to become an official, unofficial East Coast WWE training thing. And I always said no, it'll never happen. It'll never happen for a variety of reasons. And I won't call you a son of a bitch over it either. That's for like two people. I get some emails about that one. But there had also been discussion, of course, of WWE just getting all these people's libraries. And it's, very well known that Mike Quackenbush, trainer at the Wrestle Factory, the creator of Chikara, has gone down to the Performance Center and done a lot of seminars and guest weeks and agented the Coconut Loop house shows and so forth. But he hasn't done it in quite some time. And Chikara usually does their hiatus from November to February, usually. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Mike go back down during that time. And it'll be very interesting to see if that does happen, where more and more of your smaller guys, your littler guys. I do know that there have been, it's not like this is a secret, it's publicly out there that Drew Gulak does occasionally, when back home in Philadelphia, go and teach classes at the Wrestle Factory still. It's a WWE contracted guy, but that's no big deal. Seth
Sure.
Rollins has a school, Curt Hawkins has a school, and it's crazy that the two people that are trainers at his school, the Creative Pro Wrestling School himself and Pat Buck, are now both WWE employees. So if anything was going to be the Northeast leg of the WWE whatever affiliate system, I would assume that it would be Creative Pro. But I think Chikara might have the more attractive tape library just because of the sheer number of people that are currently on the main rosters of things that have gone through or spent very long periods of time in Chikara. So it's going to be very interesting next couple months whenever that announcement comes out. Now, the other thing that I wanted to mention was, now I have gone back to Chikara a couple times in the past since I quit almost 2 years ago. 3 years ago, was it? It's been a while. But there had been discussion again by people who are not in Chikara. Not affiliated with Chikara in any way, either at the time or currently, who had discussions with me that I should have at that time gone and trademarked the name Leonard F. Chikarison and also do whatever that thing that you could do to like register weird things, my voice. Because from 2005 to 2016, my voice is on about 90% of those Chikara shows. And my name is on those shows, and my image is on those shows. And people are like, hey, if you really want to stick it to Chikara, you should do this. Because if something happens, like what we're talking about now, they're going to have to come to you and cut you a check. to be allowed to put your likeness and image and all these things that you have trademarked on some sort of bigger streaming service than Chikaratopia. And I toyed with the idea for like a second.
You just don't like money, that's why.
Huh?
You're just like, nah, I don't really like money, so I'm not going
to No. I love money. But I still have a lot of friends that are there. And, you know, even though I'm not involved with Chikara, I'm still a very big fan of them. And, you know, just the other day, they had tweeted something out about, like, oh, what's the name of this wacky makeshift team for trios? And it's like Missile Assault Man, Lucas Calhoun, and Alley Cat. And I tweeted out a joke, a team name. And somebody's like, oh, they should have did this because nobody cares about Chikara anymore. And I'm like, I care about Chikara, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I spent a very long time of my life there, and I made a lot of friends there. People that I still consider friends today. And even with my departure, I'm still making new friends due to my past history with Chikara. So I want Chikara to be on the WWE Network. The more people that get a chance to check it out, it'd be really cool.
I also think that, like, if you went ahead and trademarked your name and your voice, that they would just go back in and edit it out. Like, you'd be, like, the human scratch logo. Like,
or, you know what I mean? Like, they could have had to do what, like, a lot of it was just because Jesse Ventura did that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what they were kind of joking with me that I should do, and, you know. But, okay, so now they have to edit me out of 90% of their shows from 2005 to 2015.
Yeah. I don't know.
Who's going to do all that work?
The money's right. I'll do it. I have to listen to your voice anyways.
You want to start editing the show?
Let's not go crazy. I'm talking about doing it for a paycheck.
All right. So other WWE prospects or things.
Before you move on, I just want to point out, like, how you said that, like, you know, Chikara may line up to be like a Northeast, you know, feeder or training system for the WWE.
Alleged.
Something to that effect. You know, it's looking with the tea leaves or whatever. Like, I liken it to like Major League Baseball. I know you're not going to like this analogy, but, you know, there's 30 teams and each team has four minor league levels, and each level, you know, they have their own scouts. So it's like, if you're going to have this major network to fill with stuff, you know, whether it be WWE or NXT or NXT UK or all these other indie shows, you need more than one like feeder system. Like NXT as your developmental is definitely, it's been outgrown. So I wouldn't be surprised if you, just in the US alone, you start seeing like a rise of like territories again, but all just developmental. You know, like, so you'll have a West Coast feeder and a Texas feeder and a Florida and, you know, something to that effect, something in the Midwest and the Northeast. I think that may be the first of many things to come. Makes sense?
You mentioned about NXT being a feeder system, and NXT at this point is no longer developmental. Sure. It's no longer a feeder system.
Yeah.
It's a verifiable second brand.
Absolutely. But at one point, I mean, it wasn't it was the successor of Ohio Valley, more or less, or FCW.
Right.
So that's what I'm just saying is it's outgrown that, and it needs to be replaced by like 10 other indies, you know, that have associations with the WWE. And then you're going to have your international ones as well. So that would make sense to have a tier of the network where all these indie promotions that are already in the pocket or working along with the WWE where you can watch these guys before they were quote unquote stars, you know?
Right.
All right. That's all I was going to say.
Well, we're talking about some of, I guess, the other lower end, I guess, parts of the WWE network or family. And that's specifically 205 Live.
Ooh, that's
and NXT UK. And I guess people started going crazy from an interview that Triple H did, saying that 205 Live and NXT UK were going away. And they're not being going away, but they're going to kind of be more closely folded in with NXT than anything else, where, you know, NXT UK kind of existed in its own world. 205 Live was the show that they taped after SmackDown and as Tim from Final Wrestling Place said this past week, that they would tease you to stay tuned for to the live crowd and say, hey, if you stay here for these little purple wrestlers, you'll get to see Randy Orton and AJ Styles wrestle. Do you know what the TV dark match after 205 Live was this past week?
No clue.
Oh my goodness. It was the B team of Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel taking on The Fiend.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Hmm. You had almost lost me there. Then you got me at the end. I would hope it was a squash.
I would certainly hope so. I think I haven't seen any video of it pop up online, and I don't think that I would go out of my way to try to find it either way. But I don't know. The Fiend getting to do his interest at Madison Square Garden is kind of cool.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I guess that's worth sitting through at 205 Live.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I would have been like beating the traffic. 205, the little purple ropes are coming up. I'm out of there.
Right. So, you know, obviously everybody talks about, you know, they should do it before SmackDown, but I think moving it to be closer aligned with NXT itself, maybe when you do your live show, you do 205 Live first, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do your 2 hours of NXT or whatever it is, or however it is that you do it.
Yeah, and just don't tell people, hey, at 7 o'clock is 205 Live and 8 o'clock is NXT. Just say, hey, everybody, show up at like 6:30.
Right, right. And maybe just make 205 Live like a half-hour show or whatever it is. But 205 Live is not going away, at least.
Or 15 minutes, 10 minutes.
Right.
0 minutes.
And hang on, I'm just getting, you know, kind of going back to what we had discussed before.
And Joe, just so you know, I successfully just bid on an eBay item and won it while you were talking. So I'm
good.
I've gotten the achievement of multitasking.
Right. So Anthem, we just talked about purchased access, which used to be HDNet, right?
Correct. Yep.
Now, this just came across the wire as we're recording this. And it says, in other possible major news, and I'm waiting for I try to do things from my phone so it's not screwed up at the computer. Possible major news, Anthem, with the purchase of Access TV, now owns the Ring of Honor video library from the time on HDNet and are now in talks to purchase Ring of Honor. The talks are in the very early stages, but Sinclair is listening and seems to be interested. If this was to go through, I'd expect Anthem to fold Ring of Honor completely, place the entire library up on Impact Plus. Another thing that's been thrown around, that there would be a split-type situation where Impact and Ring of Honor are the same company, but Ring of Honor would be placed on Access as its own show and then have Impact guys appear there, essentially building their own Raw and SmackDown with Impact and Ring of Honor. Now, again, obviously, we're talking beginning stages of a purchase, but the fact that Impact now owns the HDNet library is pretty interesting, that they could essentially do with it whatever they want, and that there's a chunk of Ring of Honor's time that another company owns.
Hmm. Yeah, look at that. That's interesting.
Breaking news.
Yeah. I think the first Ring of... You're going to hate me when I say this, but just add it to the pile of shame that you already have for me, but the first Ring of Honor that I saw was on HDNet. I think it was when they brought in Ric Flair for a cup of coffee.
Oh, yeah, when he ripped them off and WWE brought him back just to fuck Ring of Honor.
Yep. Yeah, but I think that's... I'm pretty sure Danielson was on those shows and Tyler Black and Claudio. Yep. So, but yeah, that was when I first started a couple episodes of Ring of Honor at that time.
There is. And you know what? I say, fuck it. I'm gonna tell this story on here. It's kind of a privately, publicly talked about story. So that was at the time in between moving from essentially trying to make Ring of Honor a more attractive TV style product so a company would purchase it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they would do a lot of squash matches, they would give away tickets for free, and Ring of Honor essentially killed wrestling business at the ECW Arena for a very long time, because right around the corner from the ECW Arena is the Oregon Diner. And when you would go to the Oregon Diner, when you would pay your bill, on the counter would be a giant stack of free Ring of Honor tickets for their TV tapings that they would run at the ECW Arena. So they killed business there. Like, why are you going to pay to see wrestling at this building when I could just go to the diner, get as many of these free tickets as I want, and see, like, all of the stars of Ring of Honor, some of whom you just mentioned, right?
Sure.
But they were these slog, 4 to 5 hour long TV tapings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Filled with squash matches. And one of the teams that they were pushing at the time was the team of the American Wolves, which was Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Edwards, as far as I know, is a nice enough guy. I've maybe met him once or twice. Davey Richards has a bit of a reputation in the world of professional wrestling, whether it be in general as an asshole, in general as someone who is difficult to work with, or in general, someone who regularly just no-shows booked appearances.
Mm-hmm.
So they are positioned to be the top tag team in Ring of Honor, and they are taking on a squash team, a jobber team, if you will. A team called the Flavors of the Week, where Week is spelled W-E-A-K, and that is the team of Leslie Butterscotch and Orange Cassidy. So the Wolves eat them up. Destroy mm-hmm. him, right?
Yeah.
Just rip them the shit way, like, Davey Richards especially is way over the top, you know, really, really abusing them in an unsafe, like, taking liberties way, but kind of just like, you know, we're showing off, you know, like, we're the Steiner brothers and you guys are the Mulkey brothers, right?
Uh-huh.
And word has it that backstage, Davey Richards very nicely came up to both Leslie Butterscotch and Orange Cassidy and shook their hands and thanked them for the match and said that hopefully one day when these two are in a position to be pushed as a top team somewhere, that Davey Richards would be honored to take the sort of beating from them that he gave to them.
Mm-hmm.
Or words to that effect.
Sure.
Before he is no longer allowed to take indie bookings, if there's anyone out there who wants to take the huge gamble of attempting to book Davey Richards in 2019 in a singles match against Orange Cassidy, so Orange Cassidy could just beat the shit out of him. Whether or not I could physically be at that event, I will purchase a ticket to that event. And then you could donate that ticket to someone, like a child or something.
Or they can just put a cardboard cutout of you in the seat.
Right, or something.
Yeah. That sounds cool.
Who was that?
I said that sounds cool.
So, there was WWE this week. There was Raw, there was SmackDown. They were both at the Madison Square Garden, the mecca of sports and entertainment. We kind of got sidetracked with that Impact stuff that came across my my stooge wire, if you will, as we were talking here. So I don't know, Raw and SmackDown were good, not blow away shows, nothing really is these days.
Mm-hmm. I think a couple things jumped out at me, that I have written down here. I mean, I do want to just go right to, the most important thing of every Raw segment, if I may, and that's the Firefly Funhouse.
Ah, yes.
Like, I absolutely love the fact that just to kind of give a storyline reason why Bray Wyatt or The Fiend goes after all these legends, like, to have the puppets be like yelling stranger danger.
How about Cold Stone Steve Austin?
Exactly. Like, anybody who's a stranger to them, or, like, you know, a legend returning, you know, they have to be taken out because it's stranger danger. I love that. And then I teased this earlier in the show, the clock that was stuck on 3:16 now says 11:19.
Did you catch? Oh, yeah, and there was a lot of people speculating that 11:19 means something.
Exactly. Like, I'm looking at, like, the first thing I thought was, like, okay, November 19th, but that's a Tuesday, and there won't be WWE programming by that point on a Tuesday, correct?
That's true.
So, like, if it was a Monday or a Sunday, I was like, okay, well, that's obvious that something big is happening there. But now I don't know what's going on. 11:19 means something, or else why have it there, you know?
Right. Well, here's what it means.
Okay.
Okay. So I figured it out. I didn't have to find the Fibonacci sequence that was hidden in a Tool album to figure this one out, right?
Okay.
Okay. So, what is 6 minus 1?
5.
Okay. 5. What is 5 months before November 19th?
I don't know. This is getting hard math. Right.
She's supposed to be, I screwed this up, but I don't care. I'm going to leave it in. I wanted you to say May 19th so I could yell May 19th, and then it's all setting up the feud between Kane and The Fiend.
Riveting stuff.
Well, listen, this is time. We're at the 23-year anniversary of Kane's debut. In WWE, and you know, they sacrificed Mankind and Dude Love and so forth to Kane to get him over. It's now time for Kane to return that favor, sacrifice himself, get the Fiend over. You know, this is how wrestling works. 23 okay. years from now, I don't know. The Fiend will sacrifice himself to one of like Kofi Kingston's kids or something. I don't
like the Fiend, at the mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee. The Fiend,
right. Okay. No, I do like that there's now more of a through line, a storyline reason that's a little bit more clear cut with the Firefly Funhouse segments. Of course, he talks about Seth and Braun taking, like, they're pointed. They're pointed segments. They're targeting specific people. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, The Fiend has targeted many people, legends, as you had mentioned, and has addressed it on Twitter. And Twitter is kind of canon, non-canon, whatever. If it happens on TV, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that The Fiend acknowledged Stone Cold Steve Austin kind of makes it all, like, The Fiend now part of the bigger WWE universe going back to the Attitude Era.
Yeah. Hmm. I also liked when they went to the Firefly Funhouse briefly just to tease that it would be coming later in the show. That was a first as well.
Yep.
So
they're still doing some new things to make the Firefly Funhouse fresh. You know, we talked about The Fiend doing the dark match for the SmackDown TV. But, you know, I don't care about the build for Braun and Seth. I don't care about the tag title match. I thought the women's tag match on Raw was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte needs to stop doing that goddamn moonsault. She's 0-4. Like, she has the same streak with that moonsault as Kurt Hawkins did on his losing streak.
I thought you were going to say Kurt Angle with his moonsault.
No. Kurt Angle, listen, Kurt Angle only killed 2 people with his moonsault. But he actually hit the people with his moonsault. That's the big difference.
Yes. I also thought, I've said this last week, and I'm going to double down on this. And that is that Baron Corbin is a more entertaining, better on the mic, younger version of Randy Orton. And him versus Joe versus Rick O'Shea was actually a really fun match as well from Raw.
Right. So there was this whole thing that was going on wrestling Twitter Monday night as this was going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll kind of get in this a little bit, how like there's internet people who should be smarter that are like, why is Shane McMahon still on TV? And if you want to get into that, we can get into that too. I can't believe Mandy Rose cut a promo where she said that Nikki Cross was ugly. And I can't believe that Baron Corbin exists. These are people who are supposed to be heels, and you are not supposed to like them.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that WWE has not done for a very long time, where you have heels who are actually bad people who do bad things.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that we as wrestling fans have been conditioned not to get. We get people who are heels just because in their promos they tell us to shut up. Or they're programmed in a feud against someone who we like more, who is clearly positioned as a babyface, but the heel has done nothing wrong or has done, you know, nothing horrible, you know?
Yeah,
or kind of cool, you know.
Yeah, the heel is a heel because he aggressively wants a championship, you know.
Right, or the heel is a heel because he's a bad person.
Yeah,
and he does and says and acts in a bad way that we don't like.
Yeah,
well, and Shane is a bad person who we don't like. Mandy Rose is supposed to be a bad person. Mm-hmm. Baron Corbin is supposed to be a bad person. It just so happens that right around this time, he's not just not having matches on TV with the same two or three guys. They're actually mixing up who he's wrestling against, and him wrestling some smaller dudes is actually kind of bringing something out in Baron Corbin that he didn't have before.
Yeah. Like when he, what's his move where he kind of spins the guy around? Deep Six, it's called.
Yeah, it's a like knockoff Blackpool Slam gimmick, sure.
Exactly. But I mean, him doing that against somebody like Ricochet, where he can really put some oots behind it, you know, makes it more impressive.
Yeah. And there was a lot of people that are on Twitter. It's like, oh, you guys are all just saying Baron Corbin is good to be contrarian. No. Baron Corbin's always kind of been good. He's just gotten better. You know, yeah. He went from, like, nobody's on WWE TV who's bad. Like, you may not like their work. You may not like the way that they're positioned on TV. You may not like their character, whatever it is. But if you're on the main TV product, it's because one person thought you were good. And that person's got a pretty good track record, even though, you know, that track record may be getting hazy in these 70-plus years.
He may not be sure that you're who he thinks you are.
Right. But like, look, like, and I don't want to pick on the girls by any stretch of the imagination, but look at Carmella, look at, you know, Mandy Rose, look at Sonya Deville. These are people who were put on TV about a year and a half ago, you know, longer with Carmella, with no real purpose other than like, oh, you've been in NXT for a while. We maybe have an idea. We're going to move you up to the main roster. Somebody got hurt or that idea is done. Now you just kind of got to like, you know, just kind of wallow where you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
But those specifically are three people. Dana Brooke's another one. Sarah Logan's another one. Granted, it's over on Main Event and only like two people watch them. But the girls have actively been busting their asses to get better. And it shows. Baron Corbin, I don't know if he's spent putting in the time at drills at the Performance Center. But look at a Baron Corbin match from 6 months ago. Look at a Baron Corbin match from a year ago compared to now. He's gotten better. His ring awareness is better. His interactions with the crowd. To get heat, his go-to line was, go back to Ring of Honor. Okay? And he would say that to, like, anyone. No matter who he was wrestling. And, like, that was, like, the laziest, shittiest, cheap heat thing. Now he's at a point where he just looks like... He gets a look on his face where he looks like such a punchable asshole that you can't help but not to hate him. And then you get mad at him when he does cool things to the guys you like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was super pissed off when he stole that pin on Joe.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to be pissed off.
Yeah. No, it got the right response.
Right.
But
Shane and Chad Gable over on SmackDown, and Kevin Owens is the referee, and Kevin Owens is being forced to call the match for Shane, and you know there's a lot going on in that match, but it's all being done because, like, who is a heel on SmackDown that they could put in that situation that the crowd is going to chant asshole at?
Mm-hmm.
They're building guys, but like Randy Orton's in the middle of a promo. We can't just pull Randy Orton out of a world title program to get Chad Gable over. Maybe like in 3 months. Maybe after Hell in a Cell we'll do that.
Mm.
But right now, like, you can't do it. Like, and that's more than likely why they pulled Elias out of that match. Because Elias still gets babyface pops.
Yeah. Yeah, it depends on, like, they were in New York, and that's the type of city that was more likely to cheer for him, you know?
Right.
Hmm. Well, I mean, maybe it was the fact that Corbin got rid of the vest. Maybe the vest was holding the back. Now he's just in the undershirt.
Yeah.
He's able to fly.
But he looks less like a TGI Fridays waiter, and he looks more like a TGI Fridays busboy.
There you go. I want to bring up from SmackDown how the show opened with Undertaker and then the little Sami Zayn promo. That's exactly how we talked about the Undertaker being used a couple months ago.
Right. They should
bring him out, cut a quick promo, you know, maybe even save the introduction for prior to going on the air. So you can say, you know, if you want the full Undertaker experience, go to a live event, you know, and then just have him, you know, he squashed Sami Zayn in a quick choke slam. And I'm sure Sami Zayn fucking loved it. You know, like you're probably any worker out there would say they'd love to be choke slammed by Undertaker in Madison Square Garden. But it was it didn't involve Undertaker in the main show or set up a program for him for the next pay-per-view, but it just it used the legend in a way that just made a quick impact and got him out of there. So I think that was awesome.
Right. You know, Sami Zayn's not hurt by any stretch of the imagination of this, and you know, maybe even gives him like some extra heat that he could bring up the Undertaker thing in passing and people could boo over it, you know?
Yep, you could say like, you know, he slipped or something, you know? But I enjoyed that. That was pretty cool. But other than that, we have for the finals of the King of the Ring what everybody, I'm sure, picked at the very beginning, Chad Gable against Baron Corbin.
So is that on the pay-per-view? Does that count toward everyone's favorite semi-regular segment on the show?
I believe, and again, right this second, I do have the window up for the Clash, but without looking at it, I think they said on SmackDown that the finals were on Raw. So if I'm not, I'm going to switch over to the tab on Wikipedia, where I always go for all my wrestling information, and it is not listed on the card according to Wikipedia. So I guess I am right. It is on Raw.
Right. I do recall maybe in between Raw and SmackDown or something that it said that it had moved off the pay-per-view, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I will say, to give you your total matches before we get into the big thing, there's a lot of matches, so it would have been tough to squeeze that in there. But anyways, Joe, you know what time it is.
I do know what time it is. It's...
Is Sami Zayn skanking down to the ring? Is Kofi Kingston doing his thing? Will Ruby Riott be on the show? Will Daniel Bryan jump no, no, no? Is it the big dog's yard? Let's find out. Does Joe know the card?
That's right. It's time for everyone's favorite regular-ish segment. Does Joe know the card? Of the upcoming Clash of the Champions pay-per-view event. I still call it Clash of the Champions, not Clash of Champions.
Yeah, and I feel like every other show has a Does Joe Know the Card because of all the... You're going to start throwing in AEWs and some takeovers, and it's pretty much going to be... We're going to have to do like a separate podcast for just this segment.
No, that's okay. You know, short weeks where there's not a lot going on, you know, this could take a bulk of the show.
Okay. Well, I will start things off, Joe, and say that there are currently, again, according to Wikipedia, the most trusted source in wrestling news, 11 matches listed, none of which have yet to be designated for the pre-show.
Okay. 11 matches.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we have aforementioned... Seth and Braun, one-on-one.
Okay.
We also have Seth and Braun defending the tag team titles against Team Cool Dads of Bob Roode and Nikki Goldcard from Hooters, a.k.a. Dolph Ziggler.
Okay.
We have Sasha against Becky.
Somewhere in here. I just want to make sure. Yep, okay.
Okay. We have Charlotte versus Bayley.
Yep.
We have the Fire and Desire taking on Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross.
Yep, that's five.
Okay. We have Ro-Ann versus Ro-Man.
Okay, yeah.
We have Kofi versus Randy Orton, future NXT champion.
Fuck Randy Orton. Yep.
Now, the rest is going to be tough.
You are at seven, so you owe me four.
I owe you four. I don't think I could do it. Let me see. Again, I'm not cheating. I'm just trying to go based on the TV. Is AJ versus Cedric officially announced or no?
According to Wikipedia, it is.
Okay. Is Viking Raiders versus Gallows and Anderson announced?
It is not.
Okay. So I'd say eight's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to give you some hints here. So right. There is a tag team match, but it is not involving any of the parties you just talked about.
I have no clue.
New Day versus The Revival.
Oh boy. I think New Day not being on TV this week and the Revival being two corny clowns, you know, that one kind of slipped my mind.
Okay. We have a three-way match for the cruiserweight title.
I couldn't guess that if you, Drew Gulak, Oney Lorcan.
Nope.
Tony Nese.
Nope.
All right, then I got no clue.
Lince Dorado.
Fuck that guy.
And Umberto Carrillo.
Okay, sure. That's the pre-show to the pre-show.
Yeah, I never heard of that second guy, but I do like saying Umberto. And then finally, Shinsuke Nakamura versus The Miz.
God damn it!
That one's
a match that actually had, like, you know, storyline and angle and shit this week.
And like a championship, too. So it's like, oh, that one I'm really disappointed in, Joe. That's not your best work.
I don't know. 8 out of 11. I'm proud of that.
Ah, but you missed Nakamura Miz for the Intercontinental title. That's
Nakamura Miz is a blind spot. Yes. I apologize. Miz has lost a little bit of his luster. I still like the Miz. It'll be interesting to see what a match between him and Nakamura looks like. Oh, and I would be remiss. Not to mention, from SmackDown this past week, Heavy Machinery was back.
Ugh.
Otis is the best.
Yeah.
And the two guys that they wrestled are friends of mine, John Silver and Alex Reynolds. So that was really cool to see them on TV.
Well, good for your friends, but Otis is barely in the top two guys in Heavy Machinery.
Oh, my goodness. I think the last time there's a Twitter account that you could find. I wish I could remember the name of it right now. But it kind of, like, will give you the history of, like, when different, like, you know, enhancement talent guys show up on either of these shows. And they're like, oh, this guy was on at this time and this time and that time, you know?
Sure.
The last time Johnny Silver was on was he was one of the paramedics that got thrown, like, off a loading dock during the Braun-Roman feud.
Okay. Yeah, cool. Good for them.
And Alex Reynolds been on a bunch of times. Like I said, I know Johnny Silver was on. One of his first times on was back during the days when Ryback was squashing dudes. Like, when Ryback would be, like, squashing, like, 2, 3, 4 guys at a time.
Yeah.
Okay. But Johnny Silver, also current CZW heavyweight champion. So, you know, it all comes together from earlier in the show talking about CZW.
Okay. Do you want to just real quick give your predictions on some of these title matches? I'll give you real quick in the order that they're on here. Bayley defending against Charlotte.
Okay. So I could see. I don't think those titles are changing. I don't think either of the women's titles are changing now. We're going to hold off on that. This feud is just starting. So no. Neither the women's titles are changing, and the women's tag titles not changing hands.
I agree with all three. Seth and Braun defending the tag title against the Super Dads or whatever.
Cool team, Cool Dads.
Cool Dads.
Let's say Team Cool Dads win. There's my dark horse pick.
Okay, now I think Rollins and Strowman retain just so they can hang it over their heads during the main, like, the later on, the world title fight. So Seth Rollins against Strowman.
Seth wins.
I agree. Kofi against Orton.
Kofi wins, and, okay, so Kofi doesn't lose the title, but they set up Hell in the Cell.
Okay. I, for one, am getting a little bit bored with Kofi as champ, but I will continue to soldier on if it means Orton does not win. So, and I guess that leaves AJ Styles against Cedric Alexander.
AJ retains.
AJ, yep, I agree. Oh, and Nakamura defending against Miz.
Right, you almost forgot. Nakamura retains.
Okay. Yeah, I think we're pretty much on the same page. Everything except for the Raw tag titles, I think, is something we disagree on. So,
and the only reason I'm saying Team Cool Dads win is because as I look at the title matches, I'm like, I see none of these titles changing hands.
Mm.
So I'm like, yeah, let's mix things up and say that Team Cool Dads win.
Exactly. And if you are a fan of Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler as a makeshift tag team, don't forget to let Final Wrestling Place know, because they're looking for tag teams to talk about in their lightning round this week.
Oh, that's right. I tell you, when they... this is one of those things where they were talking about the makeshift tag team of Dude Love and Stone Cold Steve Austin. Mm-hmm. And I will say that they did a really good job of recapping the history leading up to them teaming together.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that Marcus's Bret Hart impersonation was ridiculous. I almost spilled my coffee all over myself listening to him run down the entire Hart Foundation as Bret. But
yeah,
that is one of my favorite pairings, because it was, at the time, my favorite wrestler, you know, Mankind, Mick Foley, Dude Love, Cactus Jack, call him what you will.
Sure.
You know, getting paired up with, you know, the arguably the hottest star in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a fan of Steve Austin too, but, you know, I was always more of a Cactus Jack, you know, Mick Foley kind of guy. And like, you go back and you watch that, and you have like the build to the show where they're showing the foot tapping in the back, and then him walking to the ring, and then the promo that he cuts. And then Austin, who is like the cold killer DTA, dumping everybody on their head, stack of dimes you call the neck, everything. He finally, like, first of all, he shows respect to Dude Love and lets like Dude Love celebrate in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And also the whole time, Austin is doing everything he can in his power not to just crack up laughing.
Yeah.
and completely kill the Stone Cold character.
Yep, good times. Like you said, they do a great job of just like detailing the build up to that, and like a lot of these makeshift tag teams. I just to throw a random plug in there earlier in the show than we probably planned, but I've really been enjoying Final Wrestling Place lately, so check them out.
Yeah, and hey, listen, we're talking about it, so let's get in there. Soon to be named network, soon to be named network.com, soon to be named network.tumblr.com, whether it be this show. Whether it be the Final Wrestling Place, which comes out on Sundays, whether it be Wednesday Night Wars, who last week did a really good recap of the most recent episode of NXT, kind of letting you get ready for the upcoming NXT AEW head-to-head stuff. I'm sure they'll be having an episode this week. I don't know. You know, I know when it comes out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We also, of course, have Longbox Heroes After Dark, Puzzle Warriors 3, and Profane Arguments. Soon we're going to have more wrestling shows than other types of shows on the network, but I think 3 is a good, nice, round number. Unless Todd wants to do a wrestling show. Todd keeps teasing that he wants to do a Muppet show.
Yeah. He wants to do lots of shows that aren't wrestling or comic related. I think he just wants to do shows without us. What's that say about us?
It's just a lot about us.
Yeah.
but again, any time of the folks on those shows, if you enjoy them on those shows and they go appearing on other shows anywhere else and they let me know about it, it will appear up on soon-to-be-named-network.com, soon-to-be-named-network.tumblr.com.
Yeah.
Good. I was going to say, so we're just kind of wrapping things up with the finals of the King of the Ring tournament being moved from the pay-per-view to Raw this week. We will know who our winner is upcoming of the Let's Hang Out DVD from their July event, which I do have a copy here. And it certainly looks like there is definitely one clear-cut winner. I know you didn't want me to say that so clearly last week. I'll be a little bit more clear. I'm not looking forward to having to pay out of the country shipping on this, but damn it, I will. Because there is only one person who is close.
Okay.
There is one person, and again, as I'm opening them back up, there is only one person who has
Corbin or Gable
in the final. And that's the thing. At this point, they effectively won.
Yeah.
Because everybody else either had Corbin gone or, you know, Corbin losing
before
he gets. You know what I mean? Like, nobody else had Corbin or Gable in their finals except one person.
I think too many people were listening to our predictions and they ruined their chances.
That's what you get for listening to me. So I'll probably get in touch with you, that person who won, so I can get your address and mail that out to you.
Awesome. Speaking of brackets, Joe.
Yeah.
Much to the chagrin of Final Wrestling Place, I don't know why it seemed like they had a dog in this race last week and they were not too excited about the semifinal results. But we officially have our first gender-neutral monarch of At Odds Wrestling. The tournament is over. We are completed.
Right. So we spent how many weeks running these tournaments and everything else?
One, two, three. There was 4 weeks counting the finals.
Right. So we spent 4 weeks to get to the point where I think we all knew we were anyway. That Orange Cassidy is the official wrestler of the soon-to-be named network, nay, this show.
Yes. In what is one of the biggest landslides of the entire bracket, 75% to 25%. It's almost like the people were backlashing.
Right, backlashing the dirty pool that you'd played before. But no, Orange Cassidy, the closest that he came in any of his battles was the Daniel Bryan matchup.
Yeah, and even that was 67 to 33, you right. know, so that was, like, barely close at all anyways. But, yeah, so, I mean, I want to congratulate Alexa Bliss for playing a fair tournament.
Oh.
And, you know, it was a good effort from her and all the other semifinalists, the proletariat Boar of Moldova, and his good buddy Phil from Chicago and Samoa Joe. But yeah, so hopefully Orange Cassidy will stick this crown and scepter in his JanSport backpack and carry it around with him wherever he goes.
I don't know what the award is. We didn't think that far. I think I'm just going to print out this bracket and give it to him the next time I see him.
There you go. I'll get like a Burger King, like hat, like a crown, like the paper ones that you pop out. Get him one of those.
Right.
But I will tweet this out. I'll try to make like a little graphic or something. I don't know. We'll see. But congratulations to all those that were involved. If we're around a year from now, we'll have the second annual Gender Neutral Monarch of At Odds Wrestling.
That's right. So now Orange Cassidy, unfortunately, will have to compete in a series of four-corner matches to see if he can compete in yet another match to get the bye going into the tournament.
See, I kind of was thinking that like Phil from, or I'm sorry, not Phil from Chicago, the Boar and Alexa and Orange Cassidy, they would automatically be like set in stone for next year's brackets because they made it into the final four. And then all the other spots are up in the air for, you know, anything we talk about between now and a year from now. You know what I'm saying? We'll see. There's a lot of things I can do between now and then. I mean, I don't know if you follow. I'm pretty fast and loose with the rules on this bracket.
That's true.
And if you are like a wrestler who listens to this show and wants to be involved in it, you know, let us know. We'll get you
there. There was one time, I know we had talked about it a couple weeks ago when it came out, the PWI 500. And I took it upon myself to say, hey, PWI 500 is bullshit. Here's what I'm going to do. Send me a message if you were in the world of sports and entertainment. And I'm going to make a list. And it's just going to be arbitrarily picked at random. And I don't know. And I released it out on a blog that I had and all this other stuff. And it was a lot of work. And I never did it again.
Yeah, well, you know what? Like I said, anybody who listens to this show is automatically one of the show favorites as far as favorite wrestlers. So I'm willing to put in the work. If I have to go and add like several more rounds to this, or it looks like the bracket for the playoffs of basketball. I don't know if you've ever seen that. But if there has to be like 17 rounds just to fit everybody who wants to be in this in there, I'll do it. I got a lot of time, Joe.
Yeah, obviously you do.
But anyways, yes, congratulations to Orange Cassidy. Again, you allegedly know him. You allegedly know him for 17 years. So when you quote unquote talk to him again, you let him know that he won, and congratulations.
I will let him know. I had people asking me that if I should reach out to Orange Cassidy to see if he wanted to like come on the show to accept his award. And I'm like, I'm not going to bother him.
Yeah, because he knows that this is a show, Joe.
Right.
Anyways.
Anyways, so hey, there's other wrestling going on upcoming this weekend, and there's some wrestling that you could even see as part of independentwrestling.tv. And if you use our promo code @odds, you can get 20 days free for new subscribers. Hey, maybe go back and watch that Chikarosaurus Rex event that happened this past week so you could see how handsome Dasher Hatfield is without his mask on. I've known the whole time. Or you can go and watch Bizarro Lucha's event from a couple weeks ago that had Mike Quackenbush taking on Billy Rock, the essentially Mike Quackenbush of the Midwest, which I hear was a very emotional show. And friend of the show, Tom Green, actually got to do the commentary on that match. And I'm probably going to actually watch that after I'm done editing and getting this show ready for air. Cool. But this upcoming weekend, on Friday, you could check out Flying V Theater's event, which is happening in Maryland yet again. That's kind of their time to do their events. The event itself is sold out. You cannot be part of this. But they are doing a very quick, concise 5-match event. That's the way I like it. Let's get you in. Let's get, or 6 matches. My apologies. 6 matches. Let's get you in. Let's get you out. Molly McCory taking on Erica Lee. You've got, as I'm looking at this here, Lady Frost taking on Alley Cat. You've got a 4-team matchup with Bobby Shields, Travis Huckabee, taking on the Grimy Scots, taking on Riot City's Most Wanted, taking on Bo Keller and Joey Ibanez. I'm not really sure how you pronounce that. But, you know, maybe you know him from the Chikara Crucible stuff. You can check that out. The announced main event is a 4-on-4 match as the head of the class, as Logan Easton LaRoe leads his cronies against the tandem of Cabana Man Dan, Lucas Calhoun, Mick Moretti, and Lightning Mike Quackenbush. But for my purposes, the real double main event of this evening is Hollow Wicked taking on Eric Royal, a Maryland, Virginia standout competitor. And more importantly, O'Shea Edwards taking on just these days known as the Boar. He's still the proletariat Boar of Moldova to me. But that is a legit Haas battle on the Indies. Just because you're 200 pounds, 6 foot nothing, and you throw a lariat don't make you a Haas. Come at me. I'm the one who got the goddamn Haas invitational match in AIW. The goddamn Duke has my golden boot from getting that in there, whereas goddamn legit 250 to 300 plus sons of bitches in there going at it. That's the sort of wrestling I like. I like flippy dudes, but I like big giant dudes just pounding the shit out of each other. And that's what the Bourne O'Shea Edwards is going to be, and I can't wait.
Yes, awesome. And that's Saturday night, right?
Saturday night, 8 p.m. I have it on good authority that the show is going to be less than 2 hours.
I like it. I'm setting my alarm for that because there's a lot of the times we talk about these shows on independent wrestling TV, and I have every intention of watching them, and then I forget, but I've actually set my alarm on my phone to remind me to get on there and watch that show. Because I enjoyed the last one.
It was a very good show.
And I had a name drop on the last one, so it holds a special spot in my heart. Anyways.
Yes.
That was a great show, Joe.
Hey, you could follow us on Twitter too, right?
Yeah, you can. I almost forgot as I threw my phone down. At the man, Adam Van. At Joe Sposto, or if you want to let us know if you want to be a next year's gender neutral monarch of At Odds, claim your spots now. Get in there early by tweeting us at Odds Wrestling.
All right, so that for real is the end of the show.
It is. Mercifully, it's over.
You and your goddamn eBay distractions.
All right, everybody. Yeah, guys, have a good week.
Yes, everybody. Thank you very much for listening. Episode 55 of At Odds with Wrestling in the books. For Adam, this is Joe saying thanks for listening and enjoy some wrestling, everybody.
You're listening to the soon-to-be-named network. the Lamborghini of Podcast Network.